This morning, I have found in my vast filing system here that I have in my Bible, which is a good thing because I had mentioned in Midland that I need to find a better filing system because it keeps falling out. I found a lesson that I gave a while back, and I like this lesson. I like this lesson because I struggle with the title. I started out with the title of What is a Strong Church? But that really doesn't, that's really not a good time. And so I want to say, what I will try to put a subtitles in, maybe what is the characteristics of a strong church, or what's the aspects of a strong church? And, you know as well as I do, we could go around the room here, we could go around the city, we can go around the state, and we can ask people, what's a strong church? And we're going to get all kinds of different answers. We're going to get all kinds of different answers of what a strong church is. We may get an answer on how big the building is. We may get answers on how many people are there. We may get answers of how far-reaching are their works in the world. We may get answers. We will get answers. That's going to vary. But the important thing is what we look for, and hopefully what we will talk about this morning, is what does the Bible say a strong church, or the aspects or the characteristics of a strong church is? What does the Bible say that a strong church is? I've got 5 points. These points are not all-encompassing. These are just 5 points. There are many more things that make a strong church, many more aspects, many more characteristics that make up a strong church. I just chose 5. Because of time's sake, I say I chose 5, and I will throw in a sort of sub number 4, I believe it is. So you're going to get like 5.5. But hopefully, as I say, I teach school, and usually when I get the expo marker, either I have left the lid off and it's dried out, or I get it and the kids have fooled around before I get in the room, and they have shoved this marker up to the end, but this looks really good. My first thing that I believe that we're going to look at of a strong, what a characteristic or what a strong church is that the church loves God. And I'll tell you the truth, and I'll tell you this right now. There are times that I have difficulty talking right at the same time. So they love God. They have a love for God. A strong church has a love for God. Now we got to remember, let's define church and make sure that we know that when we're talking about a church, we're talking about us individuals, individuals in the congregation. We make up the church. We make up the church. So we love God. You know, we look in Mark, the 12th chapter, where Jesus is asked about the greatest, about the first commandment, or in other translations, talk about the greatest commandment. He's asked, you know, what is that? What is that? And Jesus answered, and he said, and you shall love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first commandment. Have you ever thought about that? You know, I read by that a lot, and I think, and it's easy to read by because there's a lot. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. That's everything. That's everything. And that's difficult to a concept to kind of think, to kind of realize. That's how the Lord wants us to love Him. That's what Jesus says. That's how He wants us to love Him. Well, okay. I see that. That is everything. But how? But how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? That's very difficult, you might say, or I say, that's hard. How am I going to do that? Well, it's not really as hard as you think. Because we can find here in John 14th chapter, It reads here, if you love me, keep my commandments. Down in verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. You know, that sort of makes what I just read simple. How do I show that I love God? Do what he asks me to do. Do what he commands me to do. Live my life under his control. That's hard to do sometimes when I get very prideful, when I get to thinking that I can take care of things, and I think, oh, I'll take care of it myself. Keep my commandments. That's how you show that you love me. Keep my commandments. Love me with all your mind, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Keep my commandments. That is an aspect of a strong church. Because we know, and we read here in the 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, starting here about verse 14, For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all. That those who live should live no longer for themselves. I don't live for myself anymore. But for him, for Christ, who died and then was rose again. That's how I show my love for Christ. That's how I show my love for God. As you know, Christ said, if you know me, you know my Father. That's how we show. That's an aspect or a characteristic of a strong church, is that they love God. Number two, second characteristic or aspect of a strong church is that they love others. The other thing that Christ said when he was asked what did he say after that? Well, we find that here in Matthew. We can find that here in Matthew. It says, Matthew 22, verse 39, it says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love others. An aspect or characteristic of a strong church is that they love God, but they also love others. They love those who were like us, and sometimes are still like us, that are unlovable. As we know, we were unlovable, but Christ was sent here to die for us. Aspects of a good church, a strong church, is that you have members that love each other and love others, even when they don't deserve it. Even if we look at them and say, they don't deserve to be loved. Yes, they do. And that's hard for me to do sometimes. But then I have to think about this. I have to think about this. This is an aspect, this is a characteristic of being part of a strong church. Is love others. Love should be just part of the Christian nature. We find here in John 13, the new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's how they're going to tell that we're Christians. The world will tell that we are Christians when we love each other. We love one another. We love everyone. That is a mark of a Christian. That's when the world will know That's who we are. We are a follower of Christ because we try to emulate Christ in showing love for others. I realize that we don't see that all over the world. We don't see the love that we should see. But it has to start somewhere. Where does it start? The old saying, it starts at home. It starts in the church. It starts here. It works its way out. As I said earlier, people see it. We may not realize that people see it. People see it. They realize it. And our prayer is that they see it and want it so badly that they want to seek us out and be part of this love that we have for one another. Third point. Attribute of a strong congregation is that you have a strong, emphasis, misspelled, no it didn't, maybe it did, I don't know, I have to look at it. Strong emphasis on the Bible. Had a sister in Odessa one time. I loved her. I'd write something and she would point out, you misspelled that word. Thank you. I love her death. A strong church or strong character of our characteristics or aspects of a strong church is where do we base our belief? On the Bible. This is where we base our belief. We don't have a creed. We don't look to some other earthly authority somewhere. We base it on the authority of God. The aspects we have a strong emphasis on what the Bible says, what the Bible tells us. We can find this in we teach this word without compromise. We teach it. We teach the truth. Timothy, 4th chapter, I believe starts about verse 2. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because of their itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. They will turn their ears away from the truth. And be turned aside to fables. Be ready to preach. This is where we base it. Our faith. Our faith is based on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is found in the Bible. We know those are truths. We know it's the truth. We do not compromise on the truth. 1 Timothy 5th chapter, about verse 20, says, those who are sinning and rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. The word here is what we take seriously as Christians. The Bible is the truth. And we emphasize our belief with a strong emphasis on the Bible. The Bible also is a pure word. It's pure. It can uplift us. It can bring us out of those times that we may be faltering. And I will, brothers and sisters, I'll confess to it to you. I'm human. My faith falters at times. I need something to encourage me, to bring me back up. There's times that I get down, and I need something to help me back up. One thing is, my brothers and sisters in Christ. The other thing is, God's Word. That's what I base it on. Acts the 20th chapter, verse 32. And so, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. What? Give me an inheritance among those that are sanctified? You know, I like that word, inheritance. That's something I don't have to work for. That's something I'm just given. I have to take it. But that's what I'm just given that. Build you up and give you an inheritance among those, all those who are sanctified. What a great group. Again, the Bible, we emphasize by reading, studying, and putting the Bible in context. In the proper context. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent and present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How many times have we seen the Bible, one verse taken out and just taken out way out of context to fit somebody, what somebody wants it to say? But as Christians, a strong church will take the Bible, keep it in context, and learn from it. Point four. A strong church, or aspects or characteristics of a strong church, is that each member tries their best in living, each member lives a holy life. Now, I'll come back to that word. Let's look at Romans 12 chapter, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Live your life transformed, not conformed to the world. Transformed. When you're a Christian, you're going to that transforms your life. The old covenant sacrifice, animal sacrifice, first fruit as a sacrifice. The old covenant sacrifice, the new covenant living sacrifice. Our lives are lived as a sacrifice. Our lives. We live our lives. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. That word reasonable, that's a funny word. what reasonable service. That's what it should be. Not extraordinary. It's reasonable. We live our lives a holy, transformed, set apart from this world. A holy life means that you're going to live a certain way. Titus, 2 chapter, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lust, we live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Christians can find a caution to this. Ephesians 5th chapter, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. A strong church, the members live a holy life. Five. Characteristics of a strong church is that the members are willing to work. Willing to work. Titus, 2 chapter, verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every law, deed, and purify him for himself, his own special people, zealous for work. We should want to work for God. We should want to work for God. Titus 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, that these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. A strong congregation is willing to work. To spread the gospel. We're going to see this. Acts, the 5th chapter, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. Therefore, those who were scattered and went everywhere preaching the word, willing to work. We, a strong congregation, has members that are willing to work. To work. To willing to spread the gospel at every situation. Diligent in their work. Romans 12th chapter, verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Now, I left that one for last because I want to do this, and I don't remember the old, if I did a Roman numerals, let's say that'd be 1, 2, 3, but it comes before 4 and 5. Which is the V. If I went over here, this would be A. I'm going to do an A real quick. Prayer. A strong aspects of a strong church. Characteristics of a strong church is that they pray continuously. We pray continuously. As we've read fervent prayers of many times in James, the fervent prayers of, and here I am, I'm on the spot trying to say it, but I'm trying even to, and we know, fervent prayer of a godly man availeth much. And I just butchered it up, and I apologize. But we know prayer is an integral part of a Christian life. Prayer is an integral part of serving God. That's how we communicate with Him. Prayer is an integral part of having a strong congregation. It's prayer. Draw this to a conclusion. I'm going to say that Sherry and boys and I have been very blessed to visit congregations around this state and even parts of the other parts in other states. And I've got to really say, that I see these aspects in the Church of Christ. I see strong congregations. I see congregations that love God. They love each other. You can tell that they have that they follow the Bible, that the members live a good, holy life, that they're willing to work and that they pray constantly. I see this and I feel very blessed to be a part of a church that is like this. So don't give this lesson as something that this is what we need to work on, or this is of any sort of correction. But I give this lesson as a thank you and carry on lesson. That we have seen, we see this as we travel to other congregations. We see this in the church worldwide, and it's wonderful. We never like to close without offering an invitation. If there is one who is subject to the gospel call or needs the prayers of the church in some manner, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.